5. When data gets creepy. The secrets we don't realise we're giving away. Do we unwittingly share more information about ourselves than we intend to when we use different apps and websites? Using algorithms and data analysis, the little snippets of information can be put together to find out more about us than we ever wanted to reveal.
Sometimes, even when people have good intentions and clear permission, data analysis can throw up odd ethical quandaries. Recently, for example, the government has asked family GPs to produce a list of people they think are likely to die in the next year. In itself, this is a good idea. A flag appears on the system, reminding the doctor to have a conversation at the next consultation about planning end-of-life care. In my day job, I spend a lot of time working on interesting uses of health data. My boss suggested that we could look at automatically analysing medical records in order to instantly identify people who are soon to die. This is also a good idea. But add in one final ingredient, and the conclusion isn't so clear. We are entering an age, which we should welcome with open arms, when patients will finally have access to their own full medical records online. So suddenly we have a new problem. One day, you log into your medical records and there's a new entry on your file, likely to die in the next year. We spend a lot of time teaching medical students to be skillful around breaking bad news. A box ticked on your medical records is not empathic communication. Would we hide the box? Is that ethical? Or are derived variables such as these on a medical record something doctors should share like anything else? Here again, different people have different intuitions. Then there's the information you didn't know you were leaking. Every device with Wi-Fi has a unique MAC address, which is broadcast constantly as long as wireless networking is switched on. It's a boring technical aspect of the way Wi-Fi works, and you wouldn't really care if anyone saw your MAC address on the airwaves as you walk past their router. But again, the issue is not the leakiness of one piece of information, but rather the ability to connect together a thread. Many shops and shopping centres, for example, now use multiple Wi-Fi sensors monitoring the strength of connections to triangulate your position and track how you walk around the shop. By matching the signal to the security video, they get to know what you look like. If you give an email address in order to use the free in-store Wi-Fi, they have that too. In some respects, this is no different to an online retailer such as Amazon tracking your movement around their website. The difference, perhaps, is that it feels creepier to be tracked when you walk around in physical space. Maybe you don't care, or maybe you didn't know. But crucially, I doubt that everyone you know agrees about what is right or wrong here, let alone what is obvious or surprising, creepy or friendly. It's also interesting to see how people's limits shift. I felt okay about in-store tracking, for example, but my intuitions shifted when I realised that I'm traced over much wider spaces. Turnstile, for example, stretches right across Toronto, a city I love, tracing individuals as they move from one part of town to another. For businesses, this is great intelligence. If your lunchtime coffee shop customers also visit a Whole Foods store near home after work, you should offer more salads. For the individual, I'm suddenly starting to think, can you stop following me, please? Half of Turnstile's infrastructure is outside Canada. They know what country I'm in. This crosses my own personal creepiness threshold. Maybe you think I'm being precious. There is an extraordinary textbook written by Ross Anderson, Professor of Computer Security at University of Cambridge. It's called Security Engineering, and despite being more than 1,000 pages long, it's one of the most readable pop science slogs of the decade. Firstly, Anderson sets out the basic truisms of security. You could, after all, Make your house incredibly secure by fitting reinforced metal shutters over every window and 10 locks on a single reinforced front door. But it would take a very long time to get in and out, or see the sunshine in the morning. Digital security is the same. We all make a trade-off between security and convenience, but there is a crucial difference between security in the old-fashioned physical domain and security today. You can kick a door and feel the weight. You can wiggle a lock and marvel at the detail on the key. But as you wade through the examples in Anderson's book, learning about the mechanics of passwords, simple electronic garage door keys, and then banks, encryption, medical records, and more, the reality gradually dawns on you that for almost everything we do today that requires security, that security is done digitally. And yet, to most of us, this entire world is opaque, like a series of black boxes into which we entrust our money, our privacy, and everything else we might hope to have under lock and key. We have no clear sight into this world, and we have few sound intuitions into what is safe and what is flimsy, let alone what is ethical and what is creepy. We are left operating on blind, ignorant, misplaced trust. Meanwhile, all around us, without our even noticing, choices are being made.